taking a moment tonight to intrude on your patience. Amen. Neither on your time. And as Pastor Harper said, I put out the stopwatch to make sure I start on time. Start and stop on time. But for God. Amen. Amen. Truly, we just bless the Lord. Yes. I use my regular watch. Amen. Because we don't want to, as I said, intrude on your patience. How many have had a long week at work? Yes, amen. But we don't want to make it any longer tonight. Amen. Because we want the joy of the Lord and need to be our strength. Our scripture reading tonight will be coming from Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Amen. Something that we're all pretty familiar with. It's the book of faith. Amen. Hebrews 1 through 11. I mean, 1 through chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Amen. When we all have it, can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May the Lord have a blessing to read of his word and come to congregation. Say the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord
is blessed already. Amen. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Tonight, the subject that we're going to deal with is invoking the presence of God. Amen. Invoking the presence of God. Many times in our situations, amen, we think when we get down a little low and things aren't what we want them to be, we think we can invoke God's presence through our tears. Amen. Or we think we can invoke God's presence through talking to someone else to get God's presence. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to deal with the means by which God will always show up in our circumstances. Amen. Hebrews 11:1, once again, we're familiar with the reads. Now, faith is the substance, meaning it is the conviction. The conviction of things that are, if we don't see it, the Bible says, what do we yet? But faith is the what? Conviction. Even though I don't see it, I still believe. And the evidence of the assurance of things not seen. Verse 2 reads, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, Paul is writing this to the Hebrew brethren because they had got discouraged along this Christian walk. Amen. Many of them had turned back to Judaism because they had lost confidence or hope in God. So Paul is trying to bring them back. So the Jews have faith. Remember this, faith is never mentioned in the sense of believing God in the Old Testament. Never mentioned in the Old Testament. Because the Jews believed God. The Old Testament was written in what? Hebrew. To the what? To the Jews. So nowhere in the Old Testament, faith is used two times in the Old Testament. I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, which we're going to go to, and I believe the elders in one of the books of Psalms. But it's only used two times in the whole Old Testament because the Jews were convicted to believe in God. Well, it's mentioned 244 times in the New Testament. Faith. Amen. Because God was trying to get their attention. And I believe faith is mentioned more in the book of Hebrews than any of the other books. Because what Paul does is he goes back to the beginning. Amen. To bring them up to where they should be spiritually. He goes back to the beginning. And he says, now, the elders attain a good report by what?
Faith.
Amen. Next verse read, through faith we understand that what? The beginning of creation. The beginning of creation. That the worlds were framed by the word of God. But how do we know this? Through what?
Faith.
Amen. So what he's telling me, he said, now don't get discouraged in God. I know I'm not going to ask you, don't raise your hand, but in your heart you ask this, and some of us get a little discouraged in God. Amen. Tired of waiting on the promise. Amen. We know God has promised, but getting discouraged because it seems like the promise is so far off. Well, he says, we believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are were not made out of things which do appear. We're talking about what?
Faith.
Amen. In the Old Testament, God never had to deal with his people about faith. And faith is a belief and a conviction in God. The Hebrews knew. From the time of Abraham, it was first called Hebrews, or just around the time of Abraham. From that time on, the Hebrews knew about faith. So nowhere in the Old Testament did God deal with them concerning faith, which is conviction in God. He didn't have to address that because they lived it every day. Amen. They knew what faith in God was. But then we come to the New Testament. And all we hear about constantly after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, all we hear about is faith. Amen. By faith. Now we're going back to what? The beginning. First, he starts off with the creation. Then he goes back next to the very man and first man that God created, which were not necessarily, first was Adam and Eve, but then he deals with Cain and Abel, showing how we are to demonstrate our faith. Amen. How we are to demonstrate faith. So he says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a what? A more excellent sacrifice. Not just any kind of sacrifice. Well, how did Abel do it? By faith. Amen. Showing that faith without works is dead. Amen. So Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was. So in order to be righteous, you must have. Can I get some help? In order to be righteous, you must have faith. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it he being dead, what? Yet speaking. By faith, Enoch, now he said, I'm going to give you, this is what faith is. I'm going to give you a case scenario, not something hypothetical, but something real. It says, by faith, Enoch was what?
Translated.
That he should not see death. He's working on their faith. Working on what we have to do to invoke God's attention. Amen. Only the way we can get God's attention is by
faith.
Amen. Sometimes when things are down low, we go through our personal pity parties. Amen. Times when I cry and moan and I call my best friend and I call this friend, I call my mother, my father, I call everybody. But that does not invoke God's attention. And when we go to Matthew, we're going to find out about the methods of invoking God's attention. Amen. So he said, now I'm going to give you one of the worst case scenarios. Because Enoch was a man, but Enoch did not die. God translated him and said that God took him, but before his miracle, before his miraculous work, he had this testimony. And what was his testimony? That he pleased God. As a result of Enoch pleasing God, God took him and he didn't even taste of death. That is a miracle. There's only two people that have never died. Amen. Enoch and Elijah. And many believe those are going to be the two witnesses that come back during the tribulation when all the stuff starts happening. Amen. We're not here to debate that point. But two people have never died. But they had a testimony for God to perform the miracle in their life. They what? Please God. Now, this is what we're going to go to the next verse. This is what we're going to deal with, what we must do to invoke the presence of God, or to invoke God's attention. Amen. But without a conviction and a belief that God will work it out. That's what faith is. A conviction that God will work it out. Amen. A conviction that God is sovereign. The conviction is this: Lord, I don't understand it, but I still believe. That's what faith is. It's a conviction, not where you presently are. Amen. The conviction sees beyond your normal circumstances. The conviction sees beyond the trial. The conviction sees beyond where you presently are. And as I said in verse 13, that we can see things that are afar off. This is what conviction of faith in God is. But what happens so often to us in the church, we get limited or we get short-sighted. Amen. We do not see God afar off because we can't see beyond our present circumstances. Can you go to verse 13 and then we come back to verse 6? Amen. Faith is not short-sighted. If faith was short-sighted, then we know that Abraham, the father of faith, was justified, but it took Abraham over 25 years to obtain the promise. If Abraham had been short-sighted, amen, after a year or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or 10 or 15, Abraham would have said, you know what, I heard what God says, but I don't think God is going to do what he does. But Abraham was strong in faith. Amen. And as a result of being strong in faith, he staggered not. The question tonight, in the midst of our circumstances, have we began to stagger at the promises of God? Amen. Once you start staggering at God's promises, that shows that your faith is short-sighted. Amen. You do not see God in his extreme power. You do not see God as able to do exceeding and abundantly above, but we see God in our limited circumstances. Verse 13 says, these all died how? In faith, not having received the promises. Amen. They were not short-sighted faith. They were not walking by sight. Amen. When we begin to doubt God, when our faith gets on shaky ground, when we become weak in faith and we begin to stagger at the promises, we stop looking afar off. Amen. We stop believing that God is going to change our circumstances. Why? Because our trials won't let us see beyond the circumstances. How many of us tonight are in prison or incarcerated by our circumstances? Are we incarcerated by the trial? Incarcerated means you are bound and you can't get out. Amen. How many of us tonight are incarcerated by our trials because we lack the faith? Well, we want to invoke God's presence through faith. Having not seen them afar and were what? You know what? I don't care how long it takes, I'm persuaded. Amen. Lord, however long it takes, I'm going to wait on God. I don't like what's going on. I don't like what I'm feeling. And I don't like what's happening. But I'm still persuaded. Amen. I'm persuaded, he said, that they what? Grab a hold of it. Tonight, our faith should cause us to grab a hold of the situation. And I'm not going to let you go, Lord, until you. I'm not going to let you go until you're blessed. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm persuaded. Lord, I see everything around me looks bleeding bad. But I'm still holding on. Why? Because I am persuaded. How many of us are persuaded tonight? How many of us really believe God tonight? Lord, you don't have to change my present circumstances because I'm going to praise you where I am right now. Hallelujah. I heard this songwriter said, don't wait till the battle is over. We need to do what? When Israel walked around the wall of Jericho, the walls were still there. But that did not hinder their praise. Amen. It said the seventh time around. Hallelujah. Maybe some of us have been around 5 times, some of us 6 times. Can we say there is a seventh time? I said, when our praises go up, well, praises, Lord, I don't see it, but I believe you. So you persuaded and embraced and confessed that they were nothing more than, this is not our home. We're just what? But there has to be a persuasion. Persuasion is equivalent to a conviction. Amen. Conviction is no matter what happened, I trust and believe God. Amen. The other day I was dealing with a situation, it's not important to know the details. And I was talking to my wife, and I was like, wow, that's just mind-boggling. Doesn't that make any sense? Why this happened like this? It's like, she said, well, you gotta remember, there's always two kind of fruits in life. There, what kind of fruit? Good fruit, or good trees, and bad fruit, bad trees. She said, besides that, you're bigger than that. I was a little small at that time. But I got bigger, amen. Because I realized, you know what? One of the things that Paul told the Thessalonian church, amen, because they had gotten complacent. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible talks about not being in darkness, not being asleep, being awake. He said, and all things give thanks. We're going to stop right there tonight. And what?
All things.
Give thanks. In the good times, give thanks. In the bad times, give. When I understand it, Lord, I give you. When I don't, and in everything, you know, sometimes, as Bishop said, when things are going well, it's easy to praise God. But how many of us have a mind to praise God when everything is going bad. So I dealt with that situation 2 or 3 days ago. Then I had to turn around and face that monster again today. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to lose my praise. You know, how many of us have allowed our joy, have allowed the joy of the Lord be in our strength, to be robbed or taken away from us because of somebody else? Amen. There should be no one that should be able to steal our praise. Amen. Our praise. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Amen. God inhabits the what? When is the last time? I'm not talking about that weak stuff. I'm not talking about that stuff. Oh Lord, I'm just saying. Oh God, it's just so bad. You know, nobody ever said anything to Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, Lord, I praise you here now. Lord, I don't understand, but I praise you here now. Lord, everyone's coming against me, but I still praise you. Amen. Don't have the house I want, but I praise you. Don't have money in my pocket, but I praise you. Be able to do, I praise you. Amen. I don't have to see my way through, but caused by my conviction, I know that God's going to work it out. And when my faith grows dim, Lord, only let me see something in my life that you already done. Hallelujah. Problem is we've been short-sighted and we forget about what he is. Constantly throughout Israel history, God kept taking them back. Every time they got to one of those obstacles, one of those situations that seemed too bad, God said, I'm going to take you back to where I already delivered you. Amen. I'm going to give you a testimony for what I've already done. This situation that you're going through is nothing greater than what I've already delivered you out of. So sometimes you got to look back, hallelujah, in order for you to grasp hold of your future. Amen. Faith is not short-sighted. So I'm not looking at, we're still here at St. John's. I'm not looking at what's going on here. I'm looking beyond the brink. I said I'm looking beyond the brink. And I'm going to reach beyond the brink and I'm going to hold on. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, but without faith. How many of you want to please God? Well, we need to work on our faith. Amen. The faith of the church is only as strong as its weakest link. But without faith, it is what?
Impossible.
Amen. Tonight we're trying. How many want to please God? That's the only thing that matters, is pleasing God. Well, then pleasing God, where is your faith? Amen. God allows trials to come, not to overthrow us, but it's to work on our faith. Amen. Without faith it's impossible. Please him. For he that you come into God, you ask God for help. You ask God to take the impossible situation and to work it out. Well, when you come to God, you must first believe. Amen. The Bible says that we shouldn't be like the double-minded man who's unstable in all of his ways. We cannot approach God in doubt and unbelief. We can't approach God wavering like the waves of the sea, meaning we can't oscillate up and down and in and out. We have to be strong in faith. Amen. It says, but he that comes to God must first believe. What do you not believe? Believe that God is. How can he be dealing with people that should have known God? For thousands of years, he has never had to deal with them concerning their faith. But the process of time has deteriorated to the point that he has to take them all the way back to the beginning concerning faith. How many of us tonight have allowed our trials? Amen. The hardships, the difficulties, the overwhelming circumstances to will our faith to the point that God has to take us back to the beginning. It should be like that in Christ. Amen. I'm staying on course. Amen. That he is a what? Reward of them that diligently seek him. You know what diligence means? No matter how bad it gets, I'm still seeking God. No matter how big the outcome is, I'm still pleasing God. We gotta understand that God permits circumstances. And there are times when it seems like God just does not hear our prayer. But we can do things in both God's presence. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 15. There are things that we can do to invoke God's presence. Amen. And there are times when we may fail. And there are times when we may come up short. There are times when we look at ourselves and we say, Lord, I am not worthy. Amen. Anybody feel like this sometimes? Like, Lord, no matter what I do, I just feel like I'm nothing before you. We can feel so unworthy. But thank God that God is a God that sees beyond our circumstances. Let's go to verse 21. First lady talking about this one. Is she first lady? Is she evangelist? Is she minister? What is she?
All that.
All that, okay. All that is a piece of bone. She talked about this, about every dog had his day. Well, Jesus leaves, I believe it's Cana of Galilee, and he goes to Tyre and Sidon, verse 21, or 15. He goes to Tyre and Sidon, which was about anywhere from 50 to 85 miles away from where he was. He went all the way there for one person. Amen. All the way there for one person. Just like when he went through Samaria, the Bible said he must need go to Samaria. What did he get in Samaria? One Samaritan at the well. Amen. Listen, that, you know what? The Samaritans were considered to be the scum of the earth. They were considered to be nothing. Amen. The Canaanites, which we're going to read about, were considered to be worse than the dogs. But Jesus walked. Amen. He didn't have what we have, this modern technology. He walked 50 miles for one Canaanite that should have been considered not even worth anything but God. But God. Verse 21 said, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Now, Jesus was sent to whom? The lost house of the what? The children of Israel. So his mission, his purpose was not for the Gentiles. Amen? He was not sent to the Gentiles. He was not, just like the woman of Samaria, she would be considered a Gentile. He was not sent. But when you have the right approach, you can invoke God's presence and attention. And cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a, but she would be considered what they call the dogs. Amen. Jews had no dealings first of Samaritans, and he had definitely had no dealings with the Canaanites. Canaanites were such a horrible people that all throughout Israel history, God said, he first said destroy them all. They were the worst. Whatever we have in society today, Canaanites were that much worse. Amen? But he answered her. Now, how many of us felt though we've cried, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, don't you see where I'm at? And it does not appear, notice I said does not appear, that God hears you. But the word of God lets us know that his ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous. There's not a thing in our hearts or mind that God doesn't know. He hears it and he knows. But the scripture said he answered her. Amen. You know what? She's calling and he says, keep on marching. Amen. He says, I'm not here for you. Amen. How many of us feel that we called and he did not stop to see about us? And his disciple came and saw him saying, send her away. What in the world is, you know, this Gentile woman doing calling anyway? Don't she realize she's not going to get what we got? Amen. This is something special. Amen. Sometimes, even in church, people can try to discourage you when it comes to God. Well, the Lord a little earlier had tried to show his disciples, the disciples, that God was not prejudiced. Amen. That in the right circumstance and situation, when the heart is right, the mind is right, and the spirit is right, we can get God's attention. Every time God gave them a spiritual application, he did something in life to reveal it. Well, this is one of those times. It says, for she cried out and said, send her away. Next verse. When he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, at this particular time, I don't have time for you. But this woman was desperate for God. We read earlier in Hebrews when it said they were what? Persuaded. They embraced it and they confessed it. This woman was persuaded that the only chance for a child was going to come from God. Amen. Next verse said, then came she and what? What in the world a Gentile? She knew what to do to invoke God's attention. She fell down and what? Worshiped. Brothers and sisters, all that crying won't get God's attention. All those pity parties won't get God's attention. But when you get desperate enough to fall down and worship, she was not embarrassed that God had ignored her. She was not embarrassed that she was not even worthy to approach, but she still worshiped. How many of us tonight are robbing God of praise to his name because we do not have the spirit of worship? The Bible says about Job, after he went through his hardship and difficulties, amen, after he lost everything, the Bible says, Job, chapter 1, verse 20, said that Job fell down and what? Worshiped. I don't care what your situation is. Don't let nothing rob God of your worship. Because worship, even though you're not qualified, you're a Canaanite. God is not sent to you. You're not worthy and he doesn't have time. When you fall down and worship him, you get God's attention. Amen. He said, worship him, saying, Lord, help me. I wonder how many of us tonight have allowed our trials to rob God of worship that's rightfully due his name. This woman realized that this might be my last chance. Anybody believe this might be the last chance? This might be my last chance for my child for help. I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care how I have to humble myself. She says she fell down and worshiped. Amen. You don't have to worship, hallelujah, just in church. Worship God where you're at. When things get bad, offer the things, the praise, the call, offer the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of your lips giving thanks to his name. Well, worship. So she worshiped. Verse 26 reads, but he answered and said, it is not meet. Now she asks what? Before he said, I'm not sent to you a kept God, but when she fell down, He had to now address the situation. The reason that God has not addressed your situation is you're not worshiping Him. You have not learned to invoke His presence and His attention. Now the Lord is not speaking abstractly, but now He has to deal with the woman one-on-one. Why? Because praise. God inhabits the what? Praise. This woman now, even though he was not sent to her, she was the scum of the earth, the worst of the worst, she now has His attention. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Amen. What he did, this term really means like a little lap dog. Even though the Gentiles were the worst of the dog, he softened up the dog. Does anybody need God to soften up the dog? Amen. He said, even though you're a dog, he said, you're not a big dog, you're not a little lap dog. You know, a little lap dog you put on your lap. He softened up the approach because of worship. I'm not worthy. Lord, I don't deserve anything, but I'm going to worship You anyhow. Amen. She said, truth, Lord. At least now she has His attention. Now they're what? Conversating. Amen. How many of us are missing out on conversating with God and having God respond because we do not worship? We get so frustrated and miserable and down low that all we can do is gripe, mumble, and complain. That won't get God's attention. Amen. The Bible said they were overthrown in the wilderness because they were murmuring and complaining. That does not get God's attention. That gets God's anger. But as a church, we need to get God's attention. Amen. All right, gotta hurry up. A few minutes left. And she said, truth, Lord, let the dog eat the crumbs. Somebody said she would not be denied. Even the dog eats the what? Crumbs and falls from the. I know You're God. I don't deserve anything. But God, just give me a crumb. When it comes to being worthy, Lord, when I look at me, I can't tell You about You. When I look at me, Lord, I don't deserve the bread, but please give me a crumb. Lord, I worship You. Just give me a, the woman realized if I get a crumb, that'll help my circumstances. Amen. The next verse reads, Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, what got God's attention? What got Jesus' attention? He said, oh woman, she didn't have just regular kind of faith. He said, now I've done everything to discourage you. I've done everything to try to push you off. But your faith. Faith will invoke God's presence and His attention. Amen. He said, oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou. Wouldn't it be great to hear God say, be it unto thee even as thou will? But you got faith. Because without faith, it's what? Amen. A lot of times we say, well, I can figure this out. No, brothers and sisters, we got to approach God through faith. He said, great is thy faith. And as a result, her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We need to invoke God's presence. We need to invoke God's blessings. Well, first we have to learn to worship. And then we have to have faith. And I'm just going to go to one more verse of scripture. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20. Faith. Great faith. I was going to read about blind Bartimaeus. And then I was going to read about the centurion soldier. There are only two times in the Bible that God speaks of great faith. And both times concerning not His people, not the Jews, but it was the Gentiles. Now, you know what that means? No matter what, if your faith is where it should be, God will recognize you and give you the answer. In the case of this, the other case, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 8, when he's talking about the centurion. In both cases, it said they were healed that very hour. Amen. God did not delay it. But it's according to your faith. Every time God heals, he always says, according to your what? Because without faith, it's what? Now, how many of us approaching God with no faith? You won't get his attention until you get it right. Chapter 32, verse 20 said, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. This is God. He said, I'm going to hide my face from them. Amen. And then I'm going to see what their end shall be. For they are a very... Every time I try to get my people to do right, they wind up doing... Every time I try to lead them in the way of holiness and righteousness, they wind up doing... So God said, I'm going to hide my face from them. Amen. He said, children and home is... This is one of the few times that he used faith. But faith wasn't to the point of believing God. This was being faithful and loyal to God. When we're not faithful and loyal to God, it says he will hide. No, go back to that one. Let me go further. Go back to that one. He said, he will do what? Hide my face from them. As we stand tonight, what things are we allowing as the elders and the ministers and the altar team come forward, what things are we allowing to stand in the way of us invoking God's presence and his attention? What things are happening to cause our faith not to increase but to decrease? Is our faith diminishing tonight? Amen. Are we like the children of Israel? No faith, and God has hiding his face from us. We need to be convicted and persuaded. The Bible says, if God has spoken it, he shall he not do it. If he said it, shall he not make it good. We must believe God no matter what the circumstances are tonight. Learn to praise God in the midst of it. Learn to worship God in the midst of it. Because praise and worship will invoke God's attention. Anybody need God's attention tonight? Amen. Amen. You don't have to wait till you get to church to praise him. You don't have to wait till you get to church to worship him. Amen. Worship, sometimes when things are getting bad, you know what you gotta tell somebody, say, look, I gotta take some time to just praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not ashamed to praise my God. I know I need help. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm weighted down. I feel like the situation is getting the best of me. I want to stop and take a praise break. And let God know, Lord, I need your help. Lord, this situation, even if I'm at work, I can't do it loud because I don't want them to know, but down in my sanctified soul, I begin to praise and worship God. Hallelujah. Then I realize when I begin to praise and worship God, I'm going to breathe for invoke his presence and attention. Tonight.